Hey, let's go to Trinity in South Carolina. Trinity, good afternoon. How are you feeling? Well, I'm just precious. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very good today. But the reason I called is I wanted to say thank you. One of your shows, maybe it was 6 weeks ago, I think you were sharing about three things to think of. It might have been your caregiver minute. And the reason it meant a lot to me, and I'll actually get to the point, is that periodically I go and sit with my ex-husband. My son is his caregiver. And the ex-husband has a touch of dementia, but he always remembers he does not like me at all. And I walked into the house, and he flared at me, and I responded. And I think, three things to remember, and one of them was to drink a glass of water before you react. And I have just clung to that, because when I flared back, then I had to fix the problem. And so just to pause before reacting, and I know better. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, you're quite welcome. And I get that, because, you know, and that's part of the thing I call wait, water, walk. Wait, water, walk is just wait. Just wait stands for, why am I talking? You know?
Well, it's because I'm breathing.
Well, and I'm the same way. I'm a member of a 12-step class for talkers called On and On and On and On and On. And
how long you been saving that one?
It's been in the back pocket for years. Yeah. Don't you get sassy with me, John Butler. But it's, I get that. And I pop off, and Gracie will tell you, I pop off all the time, and I say things that I shouldn't say. And sometimes we have to bite our tongues and learn to like the taste of blood. But, and then when we drink some water, and John's a huge water drinker.
I'm just a large person to begin with.
Well, that's true. Right. John, he is so tall. He's never seen a sunset. But when we drink some water, it gives us a chance to kind of cool off and put something in our mouth besides words. Because when you got somebody with a touch of dementia who's your ex-husband, that is not exactly a recipe for a calm afternoon.
No, but I do it so that my son gets a breather, that he gets a reprieve.
And, you know,
it's not because I'm a good person. I mean, I'll just put that one out there.
But, well, I don't know we need to go that far. Look, but
baby steps.
No. But, I mean, because even if I'd heard the three things before that event, I probably wouldn't have remembered at the time. But because it was so applicable, it's still in my head. Because I've remembered it for weeks, and you know I have a head injury, so I don't remember a whole lot. Well, so, but it made that good an impression on me, and I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, you're quite welcome, and I do things, these simple things, for a reason, not because I'm looking for people with head injuries to remember. I'm looking for me to remember it, and I know me, and I know that I will if I make this thing too complicated, I'll get messed up. And that's why, you know, I just, these simple things like the fog of caregivers and obligation, fear, obligation, and guilt. And so, but wait, water, walk, just little things that we can remember, because when it gets crazy, and it's not just for your loved one. I mean, it really isn't. There have been times when I've been in the hospital with Gracie when it is just really dicey. And you get nurses that get snippy. You get a surgeon that wants to come in there and just get all up in your business. And sometimes you got to say things, but if you can say things in a measured way and not in a reactive way, then we're making progress. I knew I was making progress when I looked at a doctor who was giving me some lip with Gracie, and he was getting all up in our face about some stuff. And I stopped him and I said, you know, doc, and I wasn't mean about it, but I was firm about it. And I said, doc, with all due respect, I was taking care of her when you were in junior high school. Let's keep this thing in perspective here. Okay. And you could just see him dial it back. But there have been times, though, when I would want to react and I want to get mad. And that doesn't do anything with anybody, with ex-husbands, with doctors, with anybody. So.
Absolutely.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for listening.
Hello, John Butler.
Oh, hello, Trinity. It is always a pleasure to hear your voice. And I am glad that you remembered about the water stuff. That's just the, because that's the thing is, You might have the snappiest comeback in the room, and you might be the most clever. I know, because I am guilty of just, oh, I can see this clever thing.
We speak fluent destroy. Sarcasm here, don't we?
Oh, yeah. It's bad. Like, this is the best thing to say. That's just going to ruin this person's day. And I just know it's there. I see it. And to be able to not do that is
absolutely. We're never,
yeah, we got to practice it. And that's with everything. You get better at things by just doing it. It's you're not going to just,
well, you're
like,
talking
like,
about
think
adulthood
your way into it.
John, and I'm not, well, I'm not, I've been avoiding adulthood for decades.
Well, oh, understood.
well you should.
Appreciate you. C.S. Lewis quote about
y'all
that,
have a good so evening can, both
thank
of you.
You very much, Trinity.
Oh,
what were you,
you
saying,
well,
John? What was that C.S. Lewis
there's
quote?
There's a great C.S. Lewis quote about that. And, you know, it's like somebody said, well, you know, you're an adult now, so you should give up childish things. And there's something to be said for that. But I can't remember what the C.S. Lewis quote was, but like word for word, because it's like a paragraph. He was a little wiser than I am.
yeah. You know, but, I'm going back right now and doing the audiobook of Mere Christianity. Of his book, Mere Christianity, which you know, those were radio addresses he did during the war.
I didn't know that. I need to take a listen because
it's really good. It's worth the time. Please do. Yeah, you'll like it.
But
I want to circle back to fear, obligation, and guilt, and I wanted to touch on this before we close up today about resentment and what that can do to an individual. And I want to let you know, here's something I learned about resentment. We have my goal for us as caregivers, and you'll hear this often. Oh, by the way, I need to give out the number 877-655-6755. Ed wants me to do that periodically. 877-655-6755. If you want to be a part of the show, but my journey from this is as I've helped this with fellow caregivers and myself, is that to know that one day we're going to stand at a grave. That's the goal for us, to stand as caregivers at the grave. We want to outlive our loved ones. I do not want Gracie to have to deal with this without me. I don't want my children and Gracie to have to deal with this without me. I cannot promise that it'll happen that way, but I want to live my life in a way that we give it the most chance, give it a fighting chance to. I saw a lady the other day. We were at the prosthetist office. That's prosthetist, John. Prosthetist, the people that make the prosthetic legs.
Right. Look. Okay. By the way, when you were talking about this earlier with the legs, if we have time, I want to circle back to that. So,
all right. Go ahead. Well, but we were there, and I saw this man who was blind. Obviously, diabetes is the number one cause of amputation worldwide. And I saw this man who was blind, and I think he was a bilateral amputee, both legs. And it appeared like it was diabetes. And then his caregiver was pushing him in a wheelchair. And she was morbidly obese. Morbidly obese. And I thought, oh, you know, my heart just hurt for her. And that's one of the seven caregiver landmines I put in my book, Seven Caregiver Landmines, is the excessive weight gain that we get as caregivers. Our hearts are so heavy, then our bodies start taking on the weight because our hearts are heavy. And we got to live in a way that is this healthy for us so that we can outlive them if at all possible. And that's what I want to do. And I want to live my life in a way that's healthy, period. But the goal is for us to stand at a grave, but we don't want to be standing there with clenched fist. At ourselves, at our loved one, at God, at doctors, at, you know, pastors that didn't come to see us or whatever. There's so many people that we could be resentful for because we wear our feelings on our sleeves sometimes, that there's no end of things that'll just tug at us. And we need to learn to let these things go. And the lesson was driven home for me that I don't want to be standing there with clenched fist. I want to be able to be at peace with this. And I realized as a pianist, I cannot play a piano with clenched fist. I can't do it. And I can't push a wheelchair with clenched fist. Try it sometime. Not with them in it. Just try it sometime. You take a wheelchair out in the field somewhere. Don't put them in it.
Well, what kind of wheelchair you got that you could take to a field?
Out here, you have to have four-wheel drive wheelchair. Of course, the way my wife carries stuff, I tell her she's the only person I know there's a wheelchair with a trailer on it. But, yeah. You know, but you can't push a wheelchair with clenched fist. And As a pianist, though, I can't play music until I open my hands. I have to let it go. I cannot be so angry, so resentful, so bent out of shape about this that it paralyzes me. And the only way that music is going to come out of my hands is if I let it, let them open up and let it go. And then I can make beautiful music. And so my request to you as a caregiver is, what music is not being played because of your resentment? What art is being denied to you and the world because of your resentment? What prayers are not being prayed because of you and your resentment? Can you let something go today? Can you let that go today? And if you don't know how to let it go, can you, even a prayer that says, you know, Lord, I don't even know how to let this go. That's a start. That's an act of faith. And I'm asking you for just a tiny, tiny step of faith to say, you know what? Maybe you can live a little bit more peacefully without holding on to this resentment. I was talking to somebody the other day, and she and her sister are trying to work this out with taking care of her mother, but her brother's just a real jerk about all this. And it's tearing apart families. And she's having to learn to let it go with her brother. We wish it would be different, but it's not. So here's where we are. Can you let something go today? You don't have to, don't feel like you just got to go 100% say, oh, I'm going to do this and this and make this big inventory. Just one thing, just one small thing. Because if you can do one, then you can do two. If you can do two, you can do four. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight. That's kind of the journey for us as caregivers. And so what I'm hoping that through this show that you'll laugh a little bit. You may cry a little bit because it's going to say things in a way that's going to pierce at those places in your heart. It may be uncomfortable for some things, and then you may be able to learn a little bit. Regardless of which, we speak fluent caregiver here. That's what we do. That's what this show is all about. It's called Hope for the Caregiver. The conviction that you as a caregiver can live a calmer, healthier life, even while dealing with somebody who is in such pain that they can't function, or is listlessly looking out a window as their mind is slipping away, or somebody who is putting alcohol and drugs into their body on such a regular basis that they can't function normally in society and they're tearing their whole family and their world apart. Or a child with special needs that is screaming through the night. Somebody who you're wiping their bottom and they're cussing at you. You can still be at peace in this. You can be. And there may be hot tears filling your eyes as you do it. But I am here to tell you that you can move to a safer place where even as those tears are drying on your cheek, that you can learn to maybe laugh a little bit, breathe a little bit easier. That's why we do the show. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. John, in the last minute or two, what were you going to say about legs? We're going to talk a lot about legs here.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about legs. Well, I mean, and
that's called a leg way.
Yeah, no, get out, leave. You have been canceled, sir.
A leg way.
So there was a couple of things.
By the way, speaking of legs, Gracie's in the studio audience listening out there. Gracie, if you want to kind of come in here, but come in quietly. Don't come in here yelling and throwing things. But come in quietly, say goodbye before we sign off, Gracie. Go ahead, John.
Oh, well, I was just saying, like, when you were asking for leg donations and things like that, the reason it sounds like a weird thing, because
it is a weird thing.
But think about how frustrated you get when you lose a piece to your IKEA furniture, all right? If you have one thing that's missing from that, where it's ubiquitous, you can find a screw at Home Depot. Think about how frustrating it is if you need parts for some legs. So, you know, turn that foot loose. Both of the shoes, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Don't just send the one shoe that's on the leg. Send both of the pair of shoes because we got a lot of single shoes. Hey, Gracie, just join me. Gracie, say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Great to hear your voice, Gracie.
Hey, listen. This is Hope for the Caregiver. How are you feeling? That's what the show is about. We want you to be in a better, calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful place as caregivers. And you can do this. We're part of it with you. We want to be a part of that journey with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. The podcast is free. There's books, there's music, there's a blog, there's everything. Go check it out. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.